Hello and welcome to the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm talking today with Steve Penny, publisher of the Silver Chartist Report. And Steve, it's always great having you on the show just to get your thoughts, both technically and fundamentally, on the metals, the commodities. And it's been a crazy last couple of weeks. It's been a couple of weeks since we've talked, so I'm excited to get your technical outlook on the precious metals and on the uranium sector, which we'll cover today. But just coming out of the gate, what is your general sense of this move? Has obviously been spiked by the Ukraine and Russia geopolitical conflict, but there's also still record high inflation. We just saw 7.9% CPI reading just this Thursday, and we have the Fed about to start hiking rates next week. So what do you think the main drivers are here? I know it's all of them, but how much of this is just Ukraine and how much of this is fiscal and monetary policy?
Yeah, great question. Thanks for inviting me back, Shad. It's always great to speak with you guys. Yeah, last time I was on, it's been 3 weeks. We usually speak every 2 weeks. And last time I was saying, hey, what I'm seeing on my end from a fundamental and technical perspective is a major trend change in silver, uranium, gold, and commodities in general. And we've really moved nicely since then. Admittedly, I didn't expect it to move quite this fast. From a big picture perspective, I think the trend has clearly changed. I think we're going to see higher highs and higher lows. That's the path of least resistance. But I think strategy is very important here rather than predicting the next, like, immediately short-term move. Having a personal strategy is so important here because these are volatile times. And for me personally, I like to buy sharp pullbacks towards support rather than, you know, what many retail investors like to do is chase momentum. So I just would urge caution here about chasing momentum. I think we're going to see higher highs going forward, but let's wait for the pullbacks to accumulate quality mining stocks and physical metals.
Steve, just along that line, there are some traders that like to see, you know, resistance levels taken out before they get in as momentum traders. Of course, at that point, sometimes a lot of the move has already happened. But would you say that in a more bullish market for commodities across the board, from the precious metals to the base metals to the energy metals, that these pullbacks will be more shallow and maybe be more brief? Isn't that what we normally see in bull market activity?
Yes, I would say that's a generally true statement. But we've moved so far, so fast here that you can't rule out a sharper, quick pullback. For example, in gold, the very definition of an uptrend is higher highs and higher lows, right? Well, the last swing low in gold was 1780, and here we are up over $2,000, or we're up over 2,000. We're back below that now. But we could pull back a couple hundred dollars, and as long as we make a higher low above 1780, that's still an uptrend. Now, I'm not predicting that by any means, but we've got the 200-day moving average in gold, about 1815. So, you know, a pullback even to that level would not invalidate this uptrend here. So be prepared for volatility going forward. It's not going to be straight up, although I do think the trend is higher. Oh, and one more comment about buying breakouts. Yeah, that's there are plenty of strategies that work, and it's important to have one. And, you know, a lot of people do just buy breakouts, and that's perfectly fine. But, you know, with that specific strategy, people who do that, they typically place a stop loss right below the breakout level. So as long as, you know, that's part of your strategy and part of your plan. Important thing is to have a plan.
That is the important thing. Some people are just going around half-cocked and they're really not sure what their strategy is. If they're a value investor, if they're a short directional trader, if they're a momentum trader. So it's good to know yourself, know thyself, as the saying goes, and know what your strategy is for these markets. I'm like you, Steve. I personally like buying on the dips and buying during corrective moves down to support levels that I think are attractive entry points. But let's get into it. Let's get into the gold chart here that you sent over. It's a weekly gold chart. You show the trend line that we've talked about in the past, that from the 2020 August all the way down, and obviously gold broke out from there. We've mentioned that before. It also has held that arc support down below and trended up higher from there. I would say that there's not a lot of moving averages on this chart, but it also has broken above a lot of key moving averages. And then the horizontal support levels. You've got a couple outlined there, 1880, 1920, 1960. It really kind of blasted up through all of them. So what do we do now, Steve? What's your outlook on gold at this point?
Well, that triangle pattern that's on the chart, I call it the Captain Obvious triangle pattern, because anyone who looks at charts saw that triangle pattern. And once we broke above there, the next objective was to make a higher high above 1880. And then from there, the next level was 1920, then 1960. Well, we just blasted right through all three of those. So I'm looking now for each of those levels to be support. So the first support level is 1960, then 1920, then 1880. And then below there, you've got the 200-day moving average. So, you know, if you were looking to scale in, you might consider scaling in a little bit on, you know, if we backtest each of those levels. And that way, you know, you've got a nice systematic approach. it's hard to say, to predict, you know, where exactly we're going to go. Are we going to backtest the 200-day or just 1880? I don't know. But if you look at the weekly candle on this chart, it's got that long upper wick, which does suggest that perhaps momentum is kind of waning a little bit in the very short term. And in fact, I think a pullback would be healthy. So I'm actually hoping for one. I would love to see a backtest of like 1880. I think that would be very healthy and set the stage for, you know, higher highs going forward.
Now, this is a weekly chart, Steve. There's been a couple technicians we've had on, like Jordan Royburn, Doc Postma, and even Christopher Aaron. They all put importance on the monthly chart, staying above 1900, and a lot of them would rather see 1920, honestly, because that's a key level, and you've got that notated here. What would your opinion be if we closed on the month down to 1880, which would be breaking down below the 1920, 1900? Would that be a deal breaker for you?
No, I'm not sure it would be a deal breaker. I'm looking at the monthly chart now. So the monthly low right now is 1903. So if we close the month below 1903, that's going to be a pretty ugly red candle with a really long upper wick. And that would suggest that we probably have a little bit more consolidating to do before we resume the uptrend. So, you know, from a bigger picture perspective over the next few quarters, I don't think that would be significant. But, you know, it would likely indicate some more time is needed to build out a new base. But if we close above 1900 and with a green monthly candle, I mean, we could see this uptrend resume sooner than some people expect anyway.
Well, and you pointed out there in passing at the very beginning that you want to see the pattern of higher lows in place. We've been mentioning that for years, that it actually goes all the way back to 2015 when it bottomed at 1045, but you've got it from the 2018 uptrend line here, that pattern of higher lows. So as long as we don't break below that, would you still consider that macro bullish?
Yeah, exactly. As long as we hold above 1780, which is over $200 below current levels, that's an uptrend. And in fact, I'll just be honest, I would love to see a backtest of the 200-day moving average. I'm somewhat doubtful that we'll get it, but that would, you know, reset the overbought RSI, and that would be a very low-risk, high-reward entry point if we were to pull back that far. So that's personally where I'm looking. I've got a lot of long-term positions already, so I can afford to be pretty picky. But I would love to see a backtest of the 200-day moving average. Not sure we'll get that. That would take, who knows what the catalyst might be, but, you know, easing of the tensions in Ukraine and Eastern Europe, that could potentially do it. But anyway, I'm looking to buy sharp pullbacks going forward.
So even if there's a pullback because of the geopolitical tension easing, or if it is somehow triggered by the Fed rate hiking, or if it's somehow a fall in inflation that starts setting in, those are the levels you're watching, and it really doesn't matter what the reason is. That's the beauty of charts, is it cancels out all that noise, and you can just look at the price action.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I love charts so much. You know, but 10 years ago, I was primarily a fundamental analyst, and it took so much more time. And what I found personally is that price and volume overlaid on a chart are the most information-dense analytical tool that I have, because it takes all of that into account. So yeah, as long as we see higher highs and higher lows, that's what I'm looking for.
And there's one more question on gold, because we've talked about this in the past, and that's that longer-term cup and handle pattern. It's really almost a 10-year pattern at this point. Started in 2011 at the all-time high at 1921. It kicked over to the August 2020 high of 2089. And then we've been in this 18-month consolidation pattern, which is really the handle. At this point, after this strong of a breakout, when you're looking at this gold weekly chart, do you think that we've basically have fulfilled the handle at this point, and we're now starting to get back up towards the rim of the cup?
The weight of evidence does suggest that's the case. For final confirmation would be a break above the previous all-time high of $2,089. That would seal the deal here. What I would really like to see too is, you know, I keep saying I would like to see, there's a lot of things I would like to see, but one potential path forward here would be a back test of the right edge of the handle part of that big cup and handle. And if I'm looking at the chart right now, let me zoom that in. You know, that would be high 1800s. That's another potential outcome here. Just a retest of the right edge of the handle of this big cup and handle formation. And then the ultimate confirmation would be a break above $2,089.
So even if there was that test down to that 1880 level or the 200-day moving average, that might fulfill that back test of the handle then in the high 1800s.
100%, yep.
Okay. Well, let's shift over to silver. You sent over a silver weekly chart. It's not quite as epic as the gold chart, but it basically has broken out of that silver squeeze downtrend channel. So what do you make of the move where it's poking its head above like a worm seeing no robin? It's finally come up above the ground.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I've been saying for a while, once we break above that downtrend channel, it's very clear that began on February 1st, 2021 with the silver squeeze, we've been in this very clear downtrend channel, and we finally broke above it a couple weeks ago, and that makes the next chart-based target up around $30, which was that previous double top. We saw $30.35 on February 1st, 2021, and then back in August of 2020, we reached a high of $29.92. So I think 30 bucks is the next chart-based target, but I don't think we're going to go straight there. Looking at this weekly candle, we've got a long upper wick, so just a little bit of backing and filling here would be healthy prior to resuming that uptrend and testing $30, hopefully in the next quarter or so.
And then this is kind of putting you on the spot, but if we do break above that $30, $35 in silver, that's such a key overhead resistance level that everybody's watching. I mean, I think everybody has that on their radar. So if we do break above that in silver, where do you think the next stop above that would be? Where does resistance come in after 30?
Okay, so at the risk of sounding too bullish, I think once we get above $30 in convincing fashion, I think $50 silver will come relatively quickly, faster than many people think. You know, within a couple few months is very likely. There's not much resistance between 30 and 50, but getting through 30, that's good. Let's get through there first. And whenever you talk about major resistance, like we are now about $30, when people say, hey, I want to get through $30 and then we go to 50, it matters at what the state of the, what the technicals look like when you get through 30. Like, for example, if we just blast through $30 now, everything is going to be extreme overbought in every time frame. However, if you just kind of grind there over the next couple months, you would get through that $30 level in, you know, a much less technically overbought state, and then which would be much more sustainable for a continued rise forward, if that makes sense.
It's an interesting point, Steve, because a lot of people will look at indicators on the chart, whether it's in overlays like RSI, the MACD, slow stochastics, the TRIX indicator, the commodity channel. You know, they'll look at these different indicators to see if they're overbought or oversold. And to the point you were making, if it just keeps rallying and gets there, but it's extremely overbought, it's probably less likely to hold on to that area versus if it grinds up and those indicators have cooled off or they're neutral and it just keeps moving up higher. You think that's a stronger posture to take?
100%. Here's a very good rule of thumb. I actually did some back testing on this a while back. I can't remember the exact percentages, but if you reach a key resistance level with RSI above 70, statistically, it's less likely to just punch right through it. You're very likely to, you know, pull back a little bit, form a new base, and then maybe punch through it on the second time. But if you reach key resistance with RSI above 70, statistically unlikely to punch right through it.
Interesting point. So yeah, more likely to have a retreat at resistance if you're that overbought going into it. So
right.
Something to keep an eye on since everything has moved so quick, so fast for both gold, silver, really all the metals. I'm sure the nickel would qualify for that too after the move it's had. Well, let's look at GDX. Let's talk about the miners. You sent over, this is the senior miners for the most part. Some of the royalty companies are in there, but you sent over a weekly chart of GDX. A lot of people were worried that that 28 and some change, I think it was 28.40, was going to break basically 29. It did hold. It held a couple times. It was tested, retested, tested again. Now it's jumped up to the overhead resistance around that 39.40 level. What's the posture that the miners are taking at this point going into that resistance?
Yeah, so the chart I sent over is a weekly chart. On the daily chart, we're overbought against resistance, that scenario we just spoke about. So, you know, it's unlikely we punch right through there, that $40 resistance on GDX. I think it's more likely that we pull back just a little bit, form a new base, and then punch through it, which I think, you know, I'm looking up. I think we're in an uptrend, but, you know, a little bit of backing and filling here would be healthy and is very likely, in my opinion. And it's important to note, too, that what we're seeing leading here is gold and senior gold miners, which is very characteristic of at the beginning of a renewed uptrend. And then what typically happens is the more speculative aspects of the sector tend to follow suit and play rapid catch up. And, you know, silver's run nicely, the junior silver miners have run nicely, but they haven't run as far and as fast as the senior gold miners. So I think junior silver miners currently present a much more compelling value proposition if you've got a 1+ year time horizon.
They just have more room to catch up at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then on the gold miners, just looking at GDX, would you say that that August 2020 spike there at 45.78, that would be the next resistance to look for once the, let's say, $40 is in the rearview mirror?
Yep, exactly. Once we get through 40, I'm looking for 45.78 as the next technical target.
Take out that August high. Okay. Well, that's a look at the precious metals, folks. That's gold, silver, and the miners. Let's pivot over to another sector that has done an about face, and that is uranium. It's had a great couple years, really, and it had a big blast up at the end of last year, really in the fall, kind of the summer to the fall. And then there's been a corrective move. A lot of people had the uranium blues for the last 3 to 4 months, but there's some promise here on the uranium price chart. We finally broke above that 50-80 level on the news that the U.S. is planning on sanctioning Rosatom, one of the big nuclear fuel providers from Russia. That really sent things higher. What do you make now of this chart? Do you think that, where do we go from here, Steve?
Yeah, so it was a little bit of an anomaly where we saw the sector peak out in November of 2021, so a few months ago, and the uranium stocks fell off anywhere from 35 to 45%. But what's interesting there is the metal held up really well, and it barely retreated at all. And we formed this bullish triangle pattern. And I was saying, hey, I'm looking upwards here, and $50.80 was the next chart-based target. And we've blasted right through that. I didn't expect us to go there, you know, get through that quite so fast. I've been saying once we get through 50-80, the next technical target is 73. But here we are in a extremely technically overbought situation. The fundamentals could certainly justify us keep going higher. I mean, uranium is such a small sector and the world needs it as we're facing like almost a global energy crisis here. But, you know, I would say be cautious too, because a lot of these uranium stocks have doubled in like the last 3-4 weeks. And I think they're going much higher. But, you know, my strategy is to buy dips, buy pullbacks towards support. And what we typically see is the retail investors who are newer and less experienced chasing these rallies and buying at intermediate term tops as opposed to intermediate lows.
Well, and since we're talking about the uranium miners, let's pivot over to the URNM, the NS Global Uranium Miners ETF chart. It's the best proxy for the miners that I think is out there. There's also URA, but I think URNM is the best balanced and best uranium ETF for the mining stocks without having other competing commodities in there. And it looks to have made a pullback down to the bottom of that channel and bounced, and it's bounced out of that declining trend line that you've drawn on here. And we'll post the chart below. It's in red, that declining trend line. It's now broken above that, and it's bounced off the channel support. So do you think that's an all clear for people to start nibbling again on uranium stocks, and or should they already have been nibbling on them?
Well, yeah, obviously the ideal time to buy was back when it was down around 60, and here we are up around close to 90. So we're up about 30-something percent in a short period of time. But that said, I still think that there's a lot of room for this to run. But, you know, the mentality should be buy the dip instead of buy the rallies. But I, as a newsletter writer, I see it. Everyone wants to buy the rips. So I think this is a buy the dip kind of market. I think we're going to go much higher. And we on this monthly chart for URNM, this is a clean breakout above that triangle pattern. And we're now just still in the lower half of this very clear uptrend channel. So, yeah, this chart looks beautiful. Just, you know, be careful about buying sharp rallies, you know, buy the dips.
Well, not to throw a wet blanket on it either, as someone that's a fan of the uranium stocks, but is there any danger of this candle that's broken out above it reversing in a couple of weeks or in a month and breaking down below there? If it was to break down below that level of support it just bounced off of, would that be a dangerous position? Because then it could set up a more cascading downward leg. So for people that are still gun-shy and worried that it could still drop, do you see that in the cards, or do you think that's a lower probability?
I think it's a lower probability, but I'm glad you mentioned that because nothing is guaranteed. No one knows the future, and anything can happen over the shorter term. The fundamentals over the next, you know, 1 to 5 years are incredibly bullish. The world is going to need more nuclear power, more clean baseload energy. That's become abundantly obvious, and uranium is going to benefit from that, the sector. But, you know, anything can happen over the short term. Could tensions ease in Eastern Europe and Ukraine, Russia, and that send the prices back down? Absolutely, that's a possibility. I think the most likely scenario is we continue moving higher. But, yeah, a failed breakout here is certainly a possibility. I think it's a lower probability, but possible.
Okay. Yeah, it just doesn't look like we're totally out of the woods yet. That's the only reason I asked. But let's definitely look at one more chart you sent over that deals with uranium, and it deals with gold. It's the uranium-gold ratio chart. It's a pretty interesting chart where it's a longer duration. It's going all the way back to, I think, 2004, 2005, and it extends out to 2030 when you look at that arc support. It's that massive, almost cup shape. And in the more near term, and when you kind of zoom in and look at the part that we just went through over the last year and a half, there was that downward channel that you've already outlined on the uranium price, and then it jumped up. Uranium, well, it looks like it's done that versus gold as well. Is it overbought next to gold at this point? Could gold outperform uranium in the short term?
It is. This chart goes back to late 2005, and right now the RSI on the monthly chart is the most overbought it's ever been, and that's uranium versus gold. But, you know, momentum is in uranium's favor. But I just like these ratio charts because they tell you what's presenting the most compelling value proposition right here, right now. So I'm bullish on both metals, but I like these ratio charts for telling me, you know, where's the opportunity to scale in. And right now, uranium has the momentum in its favor. But at some point, you know, that overbought condition is going to need to be worked off. I think it could move a little bit higher first, uranium versus gold. But, you know, at some point, it just nothing goes straight up. So we should be prepared for that.
Yeah. Do you think it would maybe get up to that resistance line that you've drawn on there, and that would be maybe where the ratio tops out, and then things would shift back over into gold's favor if we just got a little bit higher on this chart?
I think so, yeah, especially if we move straight there, right to that clear red resistance line that I've shown, which isn't very far away. And if you want to get, I don't recommend trying to get this cute with it, but you, when these ratios get extremely out of whack, you know, you could consider swapping some uranium miners for gold or silver miners and back and forth based on this ratio. I don't personally do that, but what I use this chart for is where to accumulate. So the more overbought this gets, the more I'll be inclined to buy gold and silver miners as opposed to uranium miners.
Yeah, I think that's the best outlook. We have seen some comments even on our site saying that this is the time to rotate out of uranium and into gold. I think there's a place for both asset classes in one's portfolio, but as far as accumulation, as you mentioned, Steve, if you're going to add, it'd be more appropriate to add to the one that's probably going to be outperforming the other in the short to medium term. And so that's something to keep an eye on if this gets any more overbought than it is. Any other takeaways for the uranium market that you'd like to leave people with after looking at these three charts, the uranium price, the uranium miners, and uranium versus gold?
Well, no, I guess one final thought is, you know, I consider that a lot too based on ratio. Should I sell one and swap it over to the other? And I rarely do that because there's a saying that a long-term portfolio is like a bar of soap. The more you touch it, the smaller it gets. And I look back sometimes and say, well, if I did that, you know, it would not have worked out well. And plus, you create a taxable event depending on what kind of account and your situation. So, you know, I tend to lean away from swapping. I just redirect where I'm putting new funds based on the ratios.
Well, definitely some great thoughts here, Steve, on the precious metals and the uranium sector. And there's a lot of other commodities we could talk about. We may talk about a few other ones next time because copper made an all-time high this week. Nickel blasted up to an all-time high to the point where they actually had to stop trading in nickel. Oil and gas have just been crazy. And really, almost everything from agricultural commodities to fertilizers to the metals have been racing. So yep. So we'll look at some other ones in the future. I know that you've had some charts on platinum. It may be nice to revisit palladium and platinum some on the next one.
Sure. One final thought, I guess. I've showed this chart on your show before. I don't have it ready right now, but showing the CRB index, the commodity index, versus the Dow Jones or, you know, general equities going back almost 100 years. And it looks like March of 2020 was an extreme low in that ratio. In other words, commodities had, in over 100 years, had not been so undervalued relative to general equities. And it looks like March of 2020 was a major turning point. And if you look at that chart, yeah, it's moving in our direction, but there's a long way to go. I think this is going to play out over the next, you know, at least 5 to 10 years. And there's a lot of room to go in this trade. It won't be a straight line. It's going to be very volatile, but commodities, I think, are the place to be over the next, you know, handful of years.
So even for those people that feel that commodities have just run too far, too fast, it may be the case in the short term, but on the longer term picture, they're still very undervalued compared to most other asset classes, whether it's the Dow or whether it's real estate or collectibles or bonds. The commodities were just crushed for about 30, 40 years. So this is the first revenge of the commodities, and it's got a long way to go.
As usual, you articulate my thoughts much better than I do.
Well, we love having your thoughts, Steve. We love having you on the KE Report, sharing your charts with us, sharing your technical outlook, and sharing your outlook on the markets in general as an active trader and someone that manages an active portfolio. If people like getting Steve's thoughts, definitely click on the link below that takes you over to the Silver Chartist Report. And Steve, have a great rest of the week and weekend, and looking forward to talking to you in a couple weeks.
You bet. Thanks, Chad.